This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you, if you go faster than the victory speed of 35 miles per hour, you'll slow the road to victory. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Friday, July 27th, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Miss Ruthie has advice for war wives, and we've got the best doggone music from the 1940s hit parade. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the resort owners of Ely, Minnesota. Rates start at $32.50 a week, including lodging and meals. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Japan has rejected Allied surrender demands. Tokyo vows to fight to the finish. Churchill is ousted as leader of Great Britain, and a hemp factory is rumored for Superior. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Report with Daryl Berrigan in Saipan.
This is the Pacific, Daryl Berrigan reporting from Saipan. The Japanese Domain News Service is reporting that Japan will ignore the Churchill-Truman-Chiang proclamation from Potsdam for unconditional surrender. Quoting the report, Japan will prosecute the war of Greater East Asia to the bitter end in accordance with her fixed policy. The report was monitored here from Tokyo. The Domain announcement was the first official reaction from Japan since the tripartite demand was issued by the United States, Great Britain, and China yesterday. Domain also reported that the Nipponese cabinet met in Premier Suzuki's home. They heard a report from Foreign Minister Shigenori Togo on the Allied surrender demand. Still harping on Allied disunity, the commentator said the ousting of British Prime Minister Winston Churchill proved that the British people were more interested in peaceful reconstruction at home than prosecution of a bloody, costly war in the Far East. The unidentified announcer also had some free advice for America, quoting now, "Americans must be prepared to shoulder the greater burden in the war in the Pacific, including the invasion of the Japanese mainland," unquote. In Saipan, this is Daryl Berrigan calling Pacific headquarters in Guam.
This is Guam. Frank Tremaine speaking. The 20th Air Force bluntly announced to Japan today the 11 cities which are next on the B-29 firebombing target list. In an unprecedented pre-strike warning, 20th said that four or more of the cities will be ignited within the next few days. Major General Curtis LeMay issued the warning, punctuated with Allied demands for Japanese surrender. In doing so, General LeMay advised 900,000 Nipponese civilians to flee for safety from these bombing targets, while demanding new leaders in Japan to end the war. As this is being broadcast, B-29 superfortresses of the 73rd Wing are returning to Saipan after showering 60,000 warning pamphlets on each of the 11 cities. Pillars of fire rose from the ruins of three small industrial Japanese cities today as B-29s backed up the Allied call for surrender or annihilation. A reluctant Japanese Air Force put up some opposition earlier this week to bombing runs, apparently reversing the passive resistance to American air raids of the past weeks. Even so, only one superfortress did not return. Damage to the cities of Tokiyama, Omuta, and Matsuyama was said to be great, as firebombers caused raging conflagrations. Far East Army Air Force General George Kinney says his bombers from Okinawa also were attacked by Jap planes. At Fleet Pacific Headquarters in Guam, this is Frank Tremaine speaking. Calling Germany. Come in, Potsdam.
Hello, this is Occupied Germany. Max Jordan reporting from the Potsdam Conference of the Big Four. Japan faces complete and utter destruction of its four home islands or unconditional surrender. Those are the terms of an ultimatum released today by the United States, Great Britain, and China as this historic conference nears its end. Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin did not sign the ultimatum, but that does not mean that Russia won't enter the Pacific War. The terms include Japan must overthrow the military ruling clique. Japan will be occupied until it is completely demilitarized. Japan's sovereignty will be limited to the four main islands of Honshu, Hokkaido, Kyushu, and Shikoku. This would strip Japan of her land conquests over the past 14 years of war in Korea, China, Manchuria, Thailand, Malaysia, and the Dutch East Indies. While Japan will be disarmed, soldiers will be permitted to return to peaceful pursuits. Japan will not be enslaved, but stern justice will be meted out to war criminals. Japan must restore freedom of speech, religion, and thought. In Potsdam, Germany, this is Max Jordan calling Great Britain. Come in, London.
London calling. Webb Miller, your correspondent. Prime Minister Clement Attlee has chosen his senior cabinet members. He plans to return to the Potsdam conference from which former Prime Minister Churchill has departed. Mr. Attlee pledges his top priority remains the defeat of Japan. While Churchill met with his fallen cabinet for about an hour about turning over the government controls to the Attlee-led Labour Party, Mrs. Churchill spent the day house hunting in London. Fully unconfirmed reports suggest Mr. Churchill will yield his role as opposition leader to his foreign secretary, Anthony Eden. He would then retire to his country home in Kent to write his memoirs at his leisure. The Times of London, seeking the cause of this astonishing Labourite victory, says the answer must be found largely in the conduct of the election itself, for which Churchill himself must be held accountable. It says the Prime Minister discarded the wartime cooperation between the parties to pursue his narrow conservative agenda. Meanwhile, the Labour Party is committed to socialistic economic changes, including nationalizing basic industries such as coal, iron, and steel, transportation, and the Bank of England. In London, this is Webb Miller.
The trial of former French Premier Philippe Pétain continues in Paris. Former French Premier Léon Blum, who spent the war as a prisoner of the Nazi SS, hurled the charge of treason at Marshal Pétain today. Blum said that Pétain gave himself great powers, but only used that power to share intelligence with the enemy and against the security of France. More than 50,000 workers at six B-29 airplane engine plants in Illinois and New Jersey have called off their strike. Acting Secretary of War Patterson says B-29 airstrikes against Japan would have stopped if production of engines didn't resume immediately. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08 Central Wartime. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Rest and recline if you wish, or get out and fish. Burnside Lake, Ely, Minnesota. Make new acquaintances and enjoy new adventures at this outstanding resort of national reputation. Now the main lodge dining room is open too. How about that? All cabins are modern throughout. Log or rock. Showers, bath, flush toilets. Ooh. Electric lights, screen porches, fireplaces, modern comforts in a truly rustic setting. Natural beauty, carefully preserved. Fishing? Ho-ho! Harold Bogg of River Forest, Illinois, just caught a 15-pound walleye at Burnside Lodge. American plan, $5.50 per day there, just $32.50 a week. Take a great vacation, folks. Have a good time. Do.
America's leading air ace, Major Richard I. Rabong of Poplar, will be leaving the Army Air Force soon. According to reports reaching the Superior Evening Telegram, Major Bong is in line to accept an important job with Douglas Aircraft in Santa Monica, California. As winner of the Congressional Medal of Honor, Major Bong is eligible for a discharge anytime he wishes. Major Bong returned from the Pacific in December after downing 40 Japanese planes in combat since 1942. Shipyard activity is slowing in Superior, but there's hope for more business. Newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Even as officials met to discuss the future of shipbuilding here, Mrs. Robert Frazier of Duluth christened the SS Ocean Platt as it slid into the water at Globe Shipbuilding today. Globe President Clarence Scamser told workers that he hopes to secure more contracts to keep Globe open in Superior during the post-war years. Executives at the Walter Butler Shipyards in Superior and Duluth also hope to have post-war work, even if it isn't shipbuilding. Smaller war Plants Director Lawrence Arnold, visiting Superior from Washington, D.C., says they're looking for reuses for the Butler Yards. Meeting with Superior executives today, Mr. Arnold also met with Silvercrest Industries President M.M. Silverman and plant manager David Engdahl. Silvercrest is manufacturing refrigeration units at the old Stokely Canning plant in South Superior. The units are used in the South Pacific, Lou.
Resort owners will not get extra ration points this summer. Minnesota Congressman William Pittenger says while extra meat and food supplies are available, resort owners will not be given extra ration stamps to acquire the food. And finally, Jack and good listeners, a Burnett County farmer in Grantsburg is looking to get married, and he's getting a lot of interest. Farm owner, widower, and wife seeker Arthur Bernstickle wrote Congressman Alvin Okonski that he and his 5-year-old son, Ernie, need a woman around the farm. The 45-year-old Bernstickle has been getting letters and phone calls from as far away as California and Chicago. Mr. Bernstickle says that he'll go over each reply carefully, as this is an important decision for him. Just one more thing, Jack.
They have to have red hair. He's partial to redheads, folks.
No, although redheads are nice.
No battle axes need apply?
That goes without saying. No, Mr. Bernstickle only asks that ladies don't call him at milking time.
Lou Martin, the best doggone bachelor newsman around, ladies. And he doesn't even know when milking time is.
All right, all right, all right.
Let's check the forecast for this Friday evening, July 27th, 1945. Partly cloudy with thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. The low tonight will be a pleasant 58 degrees, with a high Saturday around, 75. And it's music time. Let's kick things off for Mr. Bernstingle with this popular number from Will Osborne. This is Heart and Soul on the Martin and McKenna Matrimony Show.
Heart and soul.
necessary, folks. Will Osborne and Heart and Soul on station KUWS. Friends, here's a vital message from the U.S. Employment Service. All the fighting in the Pacific means there is great demand for war workers at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. There is an urgent need for electricians, carpenters, shipwrights, machinists, sheet metal workers, and pipe fitters to repair battle-damaged ships of war. There are plenty of camp facilities for you at Pearl Harbor, including recreation, laundry, barbershops, movies, and living quarters at reasonable rates. Plus, they pay top wages. Apply now with Mr. O'Connor at the United States Employment Service at 1007 Tower Avenue in Superior. But more music time, folks. For anyone Hawaii-bound, this is Bing Crosby, Ba-Ba-Ba-Boo, and his hit song from the movie Waikiki Wedding on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, Leilani, heavenly flower, I dreamed of paradise for two.
Leilani,
you are my paradise completed.
Leilani,
you are my dream.
Heavenly flower, tropic skies are jealous as they shine.
My sweet Leilani,
I think they're jealous of your blue eyes.
Oh, lovely Leilani,
jealous because you're Leilani, heavenly flower, I dreamed of paradise for two.
My sweet Leilani,
you are my paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leilani,
you are my dream come true. You are my paradise come.
Oh, lovely Leilani,
you are my dream.
Bing Crosby and Sweet Leilani on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou. Say, there's a couple of dances tomorrow night that look like they'd be a lot of fun. There's a dance at Tapawingo, 1 mile east of Patterson Park, and another one at the Rainbow Inn at Lyman Lake. You'd especially like that Lyman Lake one, since it's free. Owner Golly Galagoski says the music will be Mrs. Amorty and Fran Hurst. You could bring Harriet.
She's busy at the shipyards tomorrow on the evening shift.
She has her priorities backwards. She's building victory ships when she should be getting her feet stomped on at a dance with the only newsman with two left feet. You know, you really should do what the farmer guy in Grantsburg is doing and write your congressman for a wife.
I don't need a new girl. Say, not to change the subject or anything, but did you notice anything different about tonight's newscast?
Yes.
Well, what did you notice?
I don't know.
Yes, I don't know. Oh, that's cute. There was something missing for the first time in I don't know how long.
You didn't wear pants?
Of course I have pants.
Well, you never know. You're sitting there with your legs under the table. I could see you in Bermuda shorts or something.
There were no casualties in the newscast. No local servicemen killed or wounded or missing in action. And no prisoners of war. It's wonderful.
That is really great news.
To borrow an old line, no news is good news.
Hey, let's celebrate with this fine number from B. Wayne and Deep Purple on the Martin and McKenna Show. Deep Purple on station KUWS.
Let me introduce Miss Ruth Millett with advice for our lady listeners. Good evening, ma'am.
Gather round, girls. Miss Ruthie has an important message vital to all you long-suffering war wives and girlfriends.
I bet I know what the message is. Lou Martin is single and available.
Why do you insist on getting me into trouble?
This message better not be interrupted again by either of you, or you'll find out what real trouble is, Busters.
Yes, Miss Ruthie.
Buck up, ladies. Don't be sissies. I just read a story about a Tennessee woman who is in a quandary about her husband wanting a divorce so he can marry a French woman. That woman is bearing the serviceman's child, don't you know? The husband claims to still love his wife but wants to do the right thing by the baby, so she is in a quandary. Stuff and nonsense! The wife's position needs to be clear. Foreign women who are having affairs with our soldiers have been playing this poor little betrayed girl role to the limit. They take advantage of the fact that the man is there and can see her tears and hear their avowals of undying love. Well, boo-hoo-hoo! American women, stick up for your man. Don't give in. This is no time for sissies. This has been a minute with Miss Ruthie, with Just Us Gals.
Yes, thank you, Miss Ruth Millett. Interesting stuff.
No time for sissies?
Any time a woman meekly divorces her husband under those conditions, well, sissies, I say!
So, Ruthie, you think farmers are attractive, or do you prefer the sophisticated city guys like Lou and me?
I wish you wouldn't include me when you set yourself up for such an appalling fall.
As for you, Mr. McKenna, I don't see much sophistication in a guy who lives off horrible sandwiches, wears socks that don't match, except for the hole in the big toe, and considers comic books literature.
Ouch.
But I've got character.
A character is what they call the guy who falls off his bar stool at the local tavern.
Ouch again.
Oh, I apologize, Jack. I'm just in a mood, that's all. You're a nice man.
No, that's okay, Miss Ruthie. We all get in moods.
Maybe that's what attracts women to farmers. They're known as patient men who are kind to animals.
Except at slaughter time.
On with the music.
Give us a call, girls, and maybe you can win a date with the luscious Lou Martin.
Hey!
Here's one for Lou. Les Brown and his band of renown with Doris Day and My Dreams Are Getting Better All the Time.
Thank you.
The singing of Doris Day with Les Brown and his band of renown on station KUWS. Now let's go right to the phones to see who wins a date with Lou.
You can keep the farmer. I'd be glad to move all over, Lou.
Thanks, but no.
Caller 2, welcome to the Lou line.
I bet dating a newsman would be interesting, I'm sure. All those newsy things he can whisper in my ear.
I'm afraid not.
Hello, caller 3.
I think this is terrible. Who do you people think you are? This carousing over the radio is disgraceful.
Now I'm really afraid.
Welcome to the date with Lou line, caller 4.
Lou West, what on earth is going on?
It's Harriet. Quick, hide.
Hide? Well, hello, Harriet. What a surprise. I've got to leave now. I'll see you later. I'll have flowers. Goodbye.
Boy, are you in trouble. Friends, stay tuned for Correction, Please. Waltz time and people are funny. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and caller 1 doesn't moo over Lou. This is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, and Kathy Berggren. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.